Do we want to get robbed?
Good afternoon, St. Louis. This is Paul Kirtman on The Paul Kirtman Show. Here today on April 23rd, 2022. It's been a big week for me, and certainly also for the station. I'm going to talk about that a little bit in the second segment with the Defense of Liberty event that we just had Thursday night. But joining me in the studio today on the board is Max Foisey. Max, good to see you again.
Good to see you as well, sir.
I really like being in here with Max. Max,
it's always fun.
Such a great guy. And also, special guest throughout the entire show. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about his background, what he does, but also have conversations with him about some of the stuff going on in the news right now and about the event that we just had Thursday night. But it's my good friend, Mark Ludwig, somebody I've known for several years now, who's been very involved on legislative issues, especially as it concerns parents, and had an opportunity to work with him for a number of years. Just a great guy, really involved in a lot of things. Someone who is really good at building and creating and crafting and honing in on relationships. Somebody who does it right out in Jefferson City. Mark, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Paul. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So let's just go ahead and get right into this. I want to talk a little bit about you, and then kind of as the show progresses, maybe in the second segment, we'll talk a little bit about the event that we had Thursday night and what you thought about the Defense of Liberty event, because you've been to several of those. And then maybe in the third segment, we'll do our Libs of TikTok bit, as we always do. Make sure you stick around, because a lot of news on Libs of TikTok. So it has always been the case that nobody knew who actually owned the Libs of TikTok account. Some reporter from the Washington Post finally found out who she was, totally doxed her, and now she's crying around that she's the victim because people are like, why would you do this to somebody who's, you know, they're not doing anything except reposting content.
I thought of you when this happened, because we've done Libs of TikTok for a long time. And when this person got doxed, they're like, oh, no, what about me? Well, what about everybody that you've posted?
Mm-hmm.
I thought of you right away.
Yep. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But it's kind of funny because I got a clip from the reporter that did the doxing. And just 2 weeks ago, she was literally crying on national television about how wrong it is to try to dox somebody who wants to remain anonymous on social media. She literally was crying about how painful it is to have the press come after you when all you want to do is just remain anonymous, you know, if you're doing that. And then she does it to somebody else, literally goes to their homes. They got video of her at people's homes, ringing the doorbell over and over and over and over again.
Because
everybody's got a Ring doorbell now.
Yeah.
You know, you show up at somebody's door, you're likely on video, you know. You show up at the neighbor's
house.
I'm
glad they didn't have that when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. I know, right? So, Mark, tell us a little bit about, the legislative issues that you're involved with right now, and tell us a little bit about maybe what brought you to those issues and a little bit about the work that you're doing. Because you're not doing just work in the Missouri State Capitol. You're also doing work in state capitals across the country and in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, my passion is trying to make sure that kids have equal access to both parents after divorce or separation through a personal situation. And out of respect for my son's mom, I try not to go too much into our personal situation.
Sure.
But obviously, I did not get as much time with my son as I thought that he deserved. And I started doing a lot of research, finding out about how little time kids get with one of the parents. And so that became my passion. I started a group called Americans for Equal Shared Parenting that works in conjunction with a lot of other national parents organization and a lot of other good groups around the country trying to get legislation passed. And last year I was active in 29 different states working on legislation. And then I was also, when Trump was president, I was actually had met with the White House officials on three occasions trying to get some changes made at the federal level.
So you said 29 other states. So is this you personally on the ground in 29 other states? Do you have chapters or team leaders in these other states? How does that work?
Normally, I take on more of a coaching, mentoring type of a role because, as you know, most states don't want some out-of-state person coming in telling them what laws they need to pass.
Right.
So I get, because of my following on Facebook, I've got the Americans for Equal Shared Parenting Facebook page, and as a result of that, I get calls on a daily basis from people saying, hey, what can we do in my state?
So right now, people might be listening and they might be thinking to themselves, this is a no-brainer. How in the world is this even an issue? Like, what do you have to go into a state legislature for and talk to them about getting parents equal time? Like, what's the underlying issue there? How is the system not giving parents equal time? What is the dilemma? What is the obstacle there for people having access to their kids?
Yeah, I think it stemmed back from, you know, the 1970s, back when I was a kid. You know, my dad was a chemical engineer. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. And back then, if a couple divorced, it was pretty well assumed that the father would keep on working and the mother would still be a stay-at-home mom. Nowadays, we're in the two-income household, but we've also learned that by taking the fathers out of the home, those kids grew up with a lot of problems. If you look statistically, between 70 and 94% of all the problems with drug abuse, high school dropouts, teen pregnancies, teen suicides, incarceration rates, the one common ingredient is dad wasn't there in that situation. And unfortunately, a lot of it is because dad was kicked out after a divorce or separation. I'll fight just as hard for a mother as I will for a father, but in most cases, it's the father that ends up being the one that's mm-hmm. relegated to an every other weekend visitor.
From talking to you and from also talking to other people, when I was a member of the legislature, speaking with other parents, you know, I did not know this, but it's not like a man and a woman get divorced, they go into the court, and the judge says, okay, we need to figure out custody here. What I learned, what I was able to observe, was that in most cases, our culture just already has this internal bias that says the mother automatically is going to get more time and more access to the children than the father, and you have to make your case why it should be equal or why it shouldn't be that way at all. Is my observation correct that that's kind of almost like a default setting in courtrooms across the country?
Exactly. In the majority of cases across the country, the default is one parent's going to be relegated to an every other weekend visitor. And I think of, like, with my own son, you know, when you see someone primarily only on weekends, you become the Disney dad. It's fun to go to dad's house. And the challenge with that is, as much as I enjoy having fun with my dad or with my son, I also have a responsibility as a parent to make sure that he understands there's certain things that need to be done in life. He needs to see his dad can get him ready for school, that his dad can do homework with him, and he needs the discipline. And it's very hard to discipline a child when you only see them on weekends, and this is why so many kids of divorced parents end up in jail, is a parent doesn't want to discipline their child if they know they're not going to see him for another week and a half. And kids know this. So on Sunday afternoon, a kid gets away with a lot more. If that kid was going to see that parent on an equal basis, they would know, I can't get away with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, not all, but some of the co-parents use that against the non-custodial parent. Well, I know you probably don't want to go to your dad's again this weekend because they know that they just got in trouble. And they use that in a parental alienation situation. And not all parents do this, but it's a shame.
It can be used to kind of as a weapon in
Definitely.
The courtroom for a parent who wants to get full custody or more custody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the whole problem stems because, unfortunately, attorneys are paid for representing their client. Their client is either the father or the mother. It's not the child. And so if I'm an attorney, my goal is represent my client and get the best deal I can for that client. Well, a parent will give up on a house, they'll give up on a car, but they're not going to give up on their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a parent walks into a family law attorney and says, you know, hey, I want to get a divorce and I want to get the best deal I can for my child, the attorney's going to say, well, you know what, in our state, you don't get 50-50. One of you is going to win and one of you is going to lose. So unless you want to be the one that loses, I need you to dig up dirt on everything you can that's bad about that spouse.
You know, I've heard, listening to the radio, I've heard radio advertisements for divorce attorneys for men. And they will always try to get out a little bit of advice, like, listen, here's what you don't do. You know, here's what you do. And I remember one time I was driving in my car and I was listening on air. And I can't remember what the advice was, but it had something to do with whether or not you should or should not delete social media. Because they were making the point that your spouse or soon to be ex-spouse will use anything on social media, you know, against you if they can. And, you know, should you delete it or not delete it? Does deleting it make you look worse, or does not deleting it leave something there that they could use against you? And it can be a real dilemma. So the legislation, if you had to pick one law that needs to change or one law that needs to be introduced. We've talked about this when I was in the legislature, and I know you're still working on these issues. What is the thing in the state of Missouri or in other states that needs to change?
Yeah, we call it, the technical term is a rebuttable presumption for 50-50. Basically means that you're going to start with a premise that a child should have equal access to both parents after divorce. Now, the rebuttable means that a judge still has judicial discretion, because not every case is a situation where a parent is fit, willing, and able. But the parent should be presumed to be fit, willing, and able unless proven otherwise. Just like if you have a driver's license, you're presumed to be a good, safe driver. Unless you get a DWI, then they take it away. But they don't take everyone's driver's license away in the neighborhood when one person gets a DWI.
Okay, so when you say rebuttable presumption, what I believe you're saying is, and correct me if I'm wrong, that right now you're working on legislation that would give everybody walking into the courtroom a fair shake. They're supposed to be presumed to be fit and able.
Fit, willing, and able.
But right now, judges don't have to immediately assume, kind of like we're all innocent until proven guilty. So right now, parents, a father or a mother might not be presumed fit, willing, and able, and you have to prove that they're not. Right now, the judge can just use their own discretion to say, oh, no, you're not fit, willing, and able because for whatever reason.
Yeah, there's some judges out there that do a great job, but without legislation codifying it, in the majority of situations, one parent walks in on the defense trying to prove why they should be a parent. And what we're saying is that should never happen. They should both start out at the 50-yard line saying, hey, you're both going to get equal access to this parent unless there's a reason why one parent needs more time than the other. Does one parent have a work schedule that just wouldn't allow it? Does one not want to be a parent? But barring that, the presumption should be that kid's going to get a fairly equal amount of time with each parent during the
year. That kid will have both a mother and a father unless the court can be given evidence to determine that the mother or father should have more, more of a bigger role in that kid's life.
And I think it's a way, you know, when you think of it, they always say opposites attract. And I think that's for a reason. Even though my son's mom's probably not my favorite person, it doesn't matter. In his eyes, that's his mom. And mm-hmm. she adds value to his life that I can't add. That's why we were attracted to each other. Each of us has a strength and each has a weakness. And my strength compensates for her weakness and her strength compensates for mine. When you take one parent out of the relationship, you're really hurting that child by doing that.
You know, I think that's one of the things that our culture is trying to erase and get rid of is the fact that men and women are different, but that doesn't mean that one is stronger or more capable than the other. It's just they each have different strengths that complement the other one where that other person has a weakness.
Yeah, that's the thing that bothers me. In family law courtrooms all across the country, they're trying to find out who is the better parent. I don't think there is a better parent. I think each parent adds value in a different way. That doesn't make them better than the other. Because people have asked me a lot. They say, don't you wish you had full custody of Levi? And I say, no, because that would be the opposite of what we have going on right now. He needs his mother in his life just like he needs me. So I don't want full custody. Mm-hmm. I want equal custody for his benefit.
But at the same time, like you said a minute ago, if there's a reason why you should have full custody, or if there's a reason why one parent should not have full, because there are cases out there where a parent should not have custody because they're addicted to drugs, it's a terrible or dangerous environment at the one home, or maybe they just don't want to be a parent. I've met people who said, I had kids, I wish I never had kids. That's to me, as a parent of children, four small kids, man, that breaks my heart, you know, knowing that there's kids out there whose parents don't want them. But that is the case from time to time.
Yeah, and there are. And I do have a lot of single female friends that mm-hmm. are just wonderful single mothers. And I know their specific situation. But they say the same thing. They're like, Mark, what I would kill to have a father like you that wants to be a part of your son's life.
Well, before we wind up going to a break, let me ask you this. So as long as you've been doing this and working in the state legislature, I want to say this. I just kind of want to give you a quick pump on air because I've had to work with lots of lobbyists and special interest groups. I've had work with lots of representatives of different organizations. And sometimes people just come barging into your office and they got like this whole list, that's like a whole booklet. And they're like, look right here in all the fine print. This is why you need to vote the way that we're telling you to vote. And the thing is, that stuff gets lost on legislators. Now, what I really appreciate about the way that you've always come and approached the legislature, you've always knocked on the door, said things like, Representative Kirtman, I know you're really busy. I'd like to get 2 minutes of your time. If I can't do it now, can we set an appointment? You know, there's something that I want to talk to you about, if I can just catch you over coffee or something like that. And you've always kind of told me the story. It's not been about, here's the fine print and the details, here's the story, here's why this needs to change. here's who's affected, here's what's at stake. Can you work with us on this? Can you help us on this? And like that, I've never been in a situation like this. The majority of my family members haven't either. But that, the way you have approached the issue, got me invested in the issue. And for legislators and for people who are looking to affect legislation, that's what you have to do. You got to find a way to get people to want to be invested in the issue and not just bombard them with statistics. Because I'm not a guy who I pay attention to the stock market. Like, I'm interested in those statistics. Everything else is usually just way over my head. but you've always got me involved where I got to look past the numbers and I'm looking at the people that are involved, you know, and like you create a story that makes somebody want to invest themselves in the issue. And that's a rare thing for people to be able to do with lawmakers. So I just want to congratulate you on that. It's been you've done it right. Lots of people do it wrong. You've been able to do it right. And that's probably why you've been able to build relationships in 29 states.
I appreciate that. That's one of my biggest passions now is coaching other people on how to get it done. I don't want to be known as the guy who got the law passed. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be known as the guy who coached people all across the country and they got it passed in their own states.
That's a good way to do it. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Defense of Liberty event that we had just Thursday night with Donald Trump Jr. and Seth Dillon from the Babylon Bee. Joined in studio today by Max Foisy and Mark Ludwig, a good friend of mine. Make sure you stick around after the break. This is Paul Kirtman on News Talk STL 101.
You're listening to The Paul Kirtman Show on News Talk STL.
All right, and we are back now for the second segment here at The Paul Kirtman Show. Got my good friend Mark Ludwig in the studio with us. We're going to talk about a couple of these headlines. Now, some of these headlines, things that are happening right now in the media. I mean, we're seeing the woke culture begin to eat itself and almost beginning to collapse in on its own house that it built. We heard a little bit about this Thursday night at the Defense of Liberty event. Of course, we had to reschedule the Defense of Liberty event three times. It all got started. Now, I want to make sure that I'm very clear about this. Somebody at Chase Bank, we had already talked about this on the air before. Somebody at Chase Bank working in a cubicle someplace said you've violated our terms of service, said we were a hate group and whatever else. And so they terminated our relationship as a credit card processor. Now, Chase Bank itself does not have written into their own employee handbook, this is what we want you to do, right? We actually worked with some representatives from Chase Bank. Chase Bank helped make that situation right to my satisfaction. And so I'm really thankful that some of the higher-ups at Chase Bank said, we're going to help you out here. We're going to try to make this right a little bit. But still, that set in motion a chain of events that required us to reschedule a few times and continue to deal with weather and everything else. But finally, the speakers, Donald Trump Jr., continued to reschedule with us. Every time we rescheduled, he was like, I'm with you. Same thing with Seth Dillon from the Babylon Bee. Every time we had to reschedule, hey, I'm with you. We'll reschedule. The people that attended, I said this the other night, I thank the people for their patience. Because not only was it frustrating for me, but it had to have been incredibly frustrating for all the people that bought tickets. We had people buying tickets last October. And it's just probably been really frustrating. And then we had to change venues. And then when we were forced to change venues, we couldn't even sell more tickets because it was wall to wall in there, chairs. It was incredible. But one of the things that we talked about was how the woke culture is really, I mean, the whole point really is to devour people up and chew them up, spit them out. You don't agree with me. You're not going to comply with my social agenda. Well, then you're done. We're going to cancel you. What was your takeaway from the event? I want to hear what you thought about it because you were an attendee. You've been to several of these events. Where would you rank this on the scale of the different Defense of Liberty events that we've had? And what was your favorite part about the evening?
Yeah, first off, I want to thank you for your leadership in St. Louis. I mean, this is the premier event in St. Louis for most people who really don't, you know, haven't been around the political arena. And that's what I thought was so refreshing is I go to Republican events all the time and you see the same people. But it was neat to walk into that room and see people that really hadn't been to many events that are getting active, mm-hmm. that are fed up over the last couple of years and saying, hey, we need to take a stand and do something. So what I love is your philosophy of getting that outreach with what you did with the Candace event. And you've always done that. I've loved them. I think you remember I helped you host Dinesh D'Souza when he came in years ago. That was a neat event that we had. But yeah,
that was right after he released his movie, Hillary's America.
Yes, yeah.
It was. I mean, like Hillary's America hit the theaters, and then like 3 weeks later, Dinesh D'Souza comes to town. It was
great timing. And just he was a neat guy. He and his wife, I had a good time helping to host them. But yeah, this time was just it was a home run, a packed house. I'm really surprised the fire marshal allowed us to have that many people. I mean, it was really packed in there, dude. That was awesome.
Yeah. Now the Marriott. I worked with the Marriott to make sure we didn't break any fire marshal's rules. But yeah, it was completely packed, shoulder to shoulder, standing room only.
And the material, I mean, Don Jr., I've heard him many, many times at Family Research Council events and CPAC events, but this is probably the best time I've ever heard him at a live event, the best he's done. He was on a roll, and just the content, his delivery, he was on fire. It was a great night.
Yeah, it was really good. I'm really glad. And all the speakers, Tim Jones emceeing it. Tim Jones has become better, and I think being on the radio for the last few years has really helped his MC presence also, because when you're on radio, like right now we're live, you know, there's not a lot of room for error. I mean, if you start stuttering, you get caught up in your own mind, and you could really make a disaster out of it. And of course, when you're in front of people, the same thing. But he's the Speaker of the House, was the Speaker of the House in Missouri, so he's always kind of had that gift. But as an MC, like that's a completely different set of skills you bring to the podium. You're being congratulatory to people, and you're thanking sponsors, and you're making everybody feel a good part of the, like they're really part of the event. I think he did a great job. State Senator Bob Onder, Bill Igel, Cecilia Johnson, the Director of Black Engagement for the RNC. She was a hit. She was a hit. Yeah. When she got up to speak, so Tim Jones introduces her, and she doesn't come up on the stage. And I don't know if you saw, but I'm in the back of the room thinking, oh my goodness, where's our first speaker? I start running across the back thinking to myself, maybe she's still in the green room, and she was. But while I'm getting ready to run out the side door, I heard a guest say, kind of tongue-in-cheek, oh boy, here we go again. And I said, no, we our speakers are here. We're having an event, I promise. But I went and got her, and then she came out and just lit up the room, just like highly entertaining, very funny. I just thought she did a great job. What did you think about the whole message of the evening? Now, we were already talking a little bit about cancel culture, but like you said, there's a lot of people there that have not been coming out to Republican. There are people there. This might have been their very first time they've ever showed up at an actual political themed meeting.
Yeah, I had a bunch of personal friends that had never been to any event like this. And they all, and Levi, you know, Levi was sitting literally in the front row center.
Your son Levi.
Yeah, 12 years old. And I had brought his Nintendo with him, his little Nintendo Switch, because I thought just in case he starts getting antsy. He never pulled it out. The entire night, he was focused on the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's really getting into it. I even on the way home, we were dialoguing quite a bit about some of the things that Don Jr. was definitely his favorite speaker because he talked directly to him at the beginning.
Yeah.
But
nice.
I think, like you said, people are waking up to the fact that we are sick and tired of what's been going on. I'm still just shocked at everything with the Hunter Biden laptop. I mean, my gosh, if that had happened to Don Jr.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because that kind of plays into one of the headlines that I want to read here in a second. But the New York Post was the one that broke that story. Oldest newspaper in America. And if anybody just linked to that a year and a half ago, you could have been deplatformed. You'd have had to delete your tweet. You'd have been deplatformed. This is disinformation. Now, of course, we're finding out that everything they were saying was disinformation, whether it was that or about COVID. Turns out that most of this stuff is actually true. And people are just tired of being bullied and deplatformed, saying, if you're not going to be on board with our narrative, well, then you're going to be off the platform. We're not going to let you speak at all. You know what? You don't want to believe this. You don't want to get on board with what we're saying. Well, you're not part of this at all. Or in our case, you know what? We don't like the way you guys think about things, so we're not even going to let you do business. And that's what becomes really dangerous, because the worst bully is the bully that can control your money. Because if they can control your money, then they can control what you can and can't do. CNN Plus. Just rolled out. This has to be one of the best.
Awesome.
You know what? Listen, there are people at CNN who work for CNN, and they could care less. There might even be some people there that are closet conservatives at CNN, and I don't want anybody to lose their job. However, when CNN Plus rolls out and they say, hey, we have this new online streaming service, it didn't even take a week and a half before people there started sweating bullets. We're not getting the subscribers that we thought we were. Meghan McCain, sometimes I love her, sometimes I don't love her, but she had a great article on the Daily Mail. This is the title of the article. Only CNN and the woke media echo chamber could have thought that Americans would spend $5.99 for a little extra Don Lemon in their lives. That is a great headline. Here's why CNN Plus was a predictable $300 million disaster, writes Meghan McCain. And the points that she begins to make is exactly what we're talking about. People don't want the mainstream media to be telling us how we're allowed to think. And if we think a little differently, you know what? Now we're not even going to let you speak at all. Twitter, deplatform this person, because CNN is the arbitrator of truth. And that's just not true.
Yeah, and I think it's almost Don Jr. alluded to it, that said, to be honest, Joe Biden is a good thing for America. And I think a lot of people passed it, went right over their head. In the short term, it's a horrible thing. But in the long term, if we didn't have someone as bad as Joe Biden, we wouldn't be getting the pushback. And I think what's happened is the combination of Joe Biden, the media, the cancel culture, COVID with all the restrictions, and the final tip of the iceberg was the CRT that people are finding about in schools and what was going on behind the walls of schools until people got to see the Zoom classrooms. Mm-hmm. I think it was just, it was a storm that was brewing, and all of a sudden people who hadn't even paid attention said, you know what? We better start doing something. And I think we're finding out there's a lot more conservatives across the country than people thought there were.
I think so. I think you can tell by CNN's numbers alone. I think it was very bold for CNN, who's been struggling to maintain relevancy in the ratings, to decide they were going to launch a streaming service. I mean, whoever is the risk manager at CNN, their investment risk manager, should we do this? They need to take another look at this guy. So CNN, this is just interesting. CNN, it says this in this article, and I have a link to this at paulkirtman.com. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom, I think it's radio number 48, but I have a link to this article. But it says in the article that CNN's struggling morning show manages to attract a weekly average of 446,000 viewers so far in April. When you break that down, that means if you wanted to see how many people are tuning into the CNN morning show in every state, it's less than 1,300 people
per state.
Now, that's if you just kind of want to get a broad picture of what it looks like nationwide. But, of course, there's more people in Los Angeles and in California than there is here. So if you were to like get a bird's eye view of the states and pencil in 1,300 people in every state, that looks really bad. But consider the fact that it's probably more like 50 people in Missouri and maybe 2,600 people in in California, you know, or 5,000.
Yeah, I was
going to
say Wyoming and Oklahoma. And they've got three listeners.
So then their streaming service collapses in on itself. And then you can see people like Chris Wallace, right? Chris Wallace probably brought some people from Fox over to CNN Plus because they're thinking to themselves, well, Chris Wallace is going over there. And Chris Wallace was on Fox News, so he still had some, at least some credibility in terms of he's not completely full-blown woke. I can follow Chris Wallace over there, but even Chris Wallace wasn't enough to help CNN rebrand. And CNN's been trying to work on rebranding a little bit, but that's not going to happen until they get rid of people like Don Lemon or Brian Stelter.
Yeah, it is fun kind of to watch them imploding from within.
You know what? It kind of is, because it's almost poetic justice, right? Like here they've been lecturing America on the morality of what parents should and shouldn't be allowed to do, you know, and they've been telling us what's true and what's not true. And Brian Stelter said it himself on his own show. He was ragging against Russell Brand. And look, Russell Brand, he is a liberal. No doubt about it, that guy is a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, but he's more of a classical liberal. He's got a little socialist bent to him, but, I mean, he wants people to be able to have some autonomy and be free. I think I was talking to Katie Fitzpatrick about this just yesterday on Katie and Columbo, and she said that she puts him kind of in that Bill Maher category of liberal, you know? But Brian Stelter, I mean, he's probably first on the chopping block when CNN Plus goes the way of the dodo bird, and it's not going to surprise me at all. And this might be what it takes for the people at CNN to finally realize who we need to fire and what type of people we need to start hiring.
Yeah, this could be a massive shift going on, and you know, we may look back 2 years from now and say, "Holy cow! Can you imagine?" You know, CNN totally went out of business, and I mean, a total shift. And as I said, I think it took going through what we went through the last year and a half to finally wake people up and get them active.
And we're seeing a little bit of this here on the home front, right here in Missouri. So recently, this is an article from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Headline reads, "Judge orders Francis Howell officials." Have you seen this?
I haven't seen this yet.
"Judge orders Francis Howell officials to stop censoring name of parents PAC at board meetings." So we've had him on the show before. Francis Howell, I think it's Francis Howell Families. It's this. It is a group of families and parental rights activists in the Francis Howell School District that have been getting involved to fight critical race theory. So when they show up to the board meetings, they will mention the name of their political action committee. And the Francis Howell School Board, who does not want accountability. Listen, school boards don't want accountability. They want your tax dollars. They don't want your accountability. They've been telling the parents, you're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to say that. Trying to shut them down because they don't want it getting out there that, hey, there is money geared towards keeping us accountable. But finally, a judge just ordered Francis Howell officials, hey, parents are coming, that they are funding your district. If they want to come and talk about an organization that they have to raise money to keep you accountable, they should be allowed to say it, even at your meetings. I would say especially at your meetings.
Yeah, that's one of the neat things, you know, with COVID. You know, we all didn't like the fact that they shut everything down and made us hide out in our homes and made kids do school by Zoom. But I tell you what, it's a good thing it happened, because a lot of parents had no idea what was going on behind closed doors and finally woke up. I think most parents out there thought that school boards worked for the benefit of the kids and really thought they were doing a good job. And then with what happened with kids zooming in, parents started listening on in some of the classrooms and said, wait a minute, I had no idea this was going on. Then they went to the school board and found out, wait, the school board's not listening to us. And it was so refreshing to see that Rockwood school board race.
Oh, yeah.
And it's starting to take place all across
the country. What's her name? Have you met her before?
Izzy?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, highly impressed with her. And I think, was it, who's the other one? Jessica is the other one that won out there. But yeah, it's just so refreshing to see that going on. I'm fortunate. My son goes to Providence Classical Christian Academy in South County that teaches the old way. And it's so refreshing because there's a dialogue between parents. Parents can walk into that school at any time. And I watch what he learns.
That's the way it ought to be.
You know, exactly.
Parents ought to be allowed. This is the problem with the school districts. They think they own the parents' kids. And so that's why you'll have school boards pushing back and telling parents they're not allowed to speak except unless they want to speak. You only get 2 minutes. You send your kid to a school district 9 months out of the year, plus you send them money that you earned. You show up for a meeting. They're like, oh, we'll let you speak, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, but you're only going to get 2 minutes to talk because we're a private meeting, but we're open to the public, right?
Yeah, see, that's what shocked me. At Levi School, it's more of a community family aspect. I mean, if we, you know, I get a daily, I shouldn't say this on the air, but I got a message from Levi's teacher about a little incident at school the other day. And, you know, that's the way it should be. When I was a kid, you know, I knew mom and dad were going to get a phone call and they'd be waiting for me when I got home if I did something wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm just amazed when I'm finding out what's going on in public schools. And I think, thank God that I send my son to Providence, because I would not be able to put up with the stuff that I've heard going on at some of these public schools nowadays.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the third segment with Libs of TikTok, because most of what Libs of TikTok does just happens to be from school districts. This is Paul Kerbin in the studio here at News Talk STL with Max Foisy and Mark Ludwig, and we will be right back after this break for our Libs of TikTok segment right here in just a minute. And here we are again. We are about ready to wrap up the Paul Kerbin Show. We're in our third and final segment. And we probably got about 8 or 9 minutes. And so we want to have a quick discussion, as we always do. We play a segment from Libs of TikTok. Now, this week, it's going to be a little bit different. Normally, we play something from somebody on the far, far left who posted something on social media. Libs of TikTok, we're able to capture it or repost it or retweet it or something, share it. But there have been people trying to find out who is this girl that is managing this Libs of TikTok account. And this is how crazy it is, right? She's not posting anything that the left is not already posting. They're just upset that she's pulling it all together so we can see the craziness all stacked up into a mile-high mountain of nonsense and quite frankly, scary rhetoric with some of the stuff that they've been posting. Now, there has been a reporter from the Washington Post. I'm going to click this. If you go to paulkirtman.com, you go down to, okay, it's radio number 45, all the way down at the bottom. Radio number 45, guest Mark Ludwig from Americans for Equal Shared Parenting. But there was a reporter, what is her name? Taylor Lawrence. She works for the Washington Post. Now, she had made it her mission to find out who is behind Libs of TikTok. And that required her to call people, go to people's homes, track them down. She was going to find out who it was. She says this is an LGBTQ hate disinformation campaign, which is nuts. Because all Libs of TikTok does, literally, is they repost. They repost and they reshare stuff. So Taylor Lorenz, I got a clip here of a couple weeks ago. She's talking. Now, keep in mind, what she's complaining about in this clip, she just did to somebody else. So I'm going to go ahead and pull this up. I think we're ready to play this. Are we good here, Max? Mm-hmm. All right. Here's Taylor Lorenz a couple weeks ago talking about how nightmarish of an experience it is to have somebody try to dox you. And for those that don't know, doxing means you have some anonymity, you just want to be left alone, and somebody else goes out there and finds your name, address, all your information about you, and puts it all over the internet so activists can harass you. That's what doxing is. Taylor Lorenz is talking about how she has PTSD from people having tried to do this to her.
You feel like any little piece of information that gets out on you will be used by the worst people on the internet to destroy your life. And it's so isolating
and terrifying.
It's horrifying.
And then she does it to somebody else. So many angles here, Michael. Does the Washington Post support the doxing? And all the libs of TikTok, that's all they do is they reveal to the world the crazy leftists and what they're up to in this country. And isn't what this reporter is really angry at, that someone is breaking their propaganda hold over what gets reported and what doesn't?
Well, of course, that's what they're upset about, because the Washington Post and the New York Times and the entire establishment corporate media exist to protect the narrative, and they exist to push the propaganda of the ruling class. And when independent journalists of any stripes come out and do any kind of reporting that contradicts that, they tend to be punished.
So that's what happened. That's Michael Knowles from the Daily Wire. And so what you heard at first was Taylor Lawrence talking about how in the clip, she also talks about how she's got PTSD and how, but then in, people have captured her on video at people's homes ringing the doorbell saying, I think that you might be behind this and I need to know because I'm going to expose you. And so you better tell me if it's not you, because if you don't say anything, I'm just going to put your name and information out there. So she does this to the creator of Libs of TikTok. And that just, it goes to show you how hypocritical the left is. And Michael Knowles is exactly right. The whole point here, what this all illustrates, is how far the left will go to make sure that they protect their own narrative. And their so it's what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? If you have a hard time with somebody doing this to you, don't turn around literally within 2 weeks and just harass somebody to the point that now you're going to dox them and get their information out there. And now Taylor Lorenz, on Twitter, people are telling her, you are such a terrible human being, because what you're telling people not to do, like, you're literally doing it yourself. And so now she's on this other diatribe about how she's a victim. You know, you're not a victim. You're a victim of the circumstances you might have created, but it doesn't go much further than that. What say you,
yeah,
Mark?
Yeah, I've noticed the same thing. We noticed it a lot in the family law arena in shared parenting situations. But the left over the last couple of years, the projection of the very things they were doing, you know, we saw it with the Russian collusion, that, you know, it turned out the real Russian collusion was Hillary Clinton. But they projected that it was Trump doing it. And then we heard about the quid pro quo. But, you know, it was actually Joe Biden doing it, not Trump. And now hear the same thing, that the projection of how dare you do something, ironically, something they did. But I think the real reason is it's a distraction and a deflection, because the material on this site is just a goldmine. But they don't want us talking about the issues that are on that website. What they want us talking about is this poor person behind the website. Let's kill the messenger, not the message.
The left is already putting out this stuff on social media. So it's not like they don't want this stuff out there. They want it out there. They just don't want it out there consolidated in Libs of TikTok, where everybody can see just how crazy this, some of this stuff has really gotten. We're going to have just a couple minutes left here, but before we go, I want to make sure that anybody who's listening has an opportunity to be able to find you. Maybe they want to get involved in Americans for Equal Shared Parenting. Maybe they want to learn more about the issue. Maybe they're going through something like this and they need to find a way to get a little more support from some people that are also involved. What is the best way for people to find you? Do you have any events coming up? What is the best way people could get involved in the issues that you're working on?
Awesome. Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, a lot of other great organizations out there. Not that we're better than any, but since I'm the founder of Americans for Equal Shared Parenting, I'll plug ours. But yeah, we have a very active Facebook page called Americans for Equal Shared Parenting, all spelled out. We've got a website, which is the abbreviation of each of the letters, AFESP.com. And then we do have a trivia night coming up, May 21st. It's going to be in Gravois Bluffs. But that'd be a great opportunity for anybody who's been through a family law situation to get to meet other people who have been through it and help the cause to try and make sure that our kids don't have to go through what we went through.
I remember one time you even had a little class talking, and you invited me to speak at this, about how people should engage with legislators. Do you have any plans to put on another class?
Yeah, I've done about 100 of those across the country over the last 4 years. I do a national annual one. Usually that's around September that I do one big event. So yeah, I'll be having something coming up around like September, October that I'll be doing that.
Well, I would want to encourage people to go to your Facebook page. Wait, say that Facebook page again.
Yeah, it's Americans for Equal Shared Parenting, spelled out.
Americans for Equal Shared Parenting, because you are pretty regular and pretty disciplined about doing Facebook Lives. You were doing one the other night, I think, maybe at the event. If I saw you from across the room, you had your camera out. I figured that's probably what you're doing. But you do that on a pretty regular basis. You do Facebook Lives and you introduce people in your organization to people that you're working with and people that are involved in different meetings. So definitely give Americans for Equal Shared Parenting a like on Facebook. That's probably, between that and your website, probably one of the easiest ways to reach out to you.
Yeah, the Facebook page is the easiest way.
You got a pretty good following there, don't you? On Facebook?
Yeah, I've got about 48,000 direct followers on that page, and then there's about 1,200 other organizations around the country that share my material. So total about 850,000 people, either directly or indirectly, that are following that page.
That's amazing. And one more time, I'll just say it one more time in case anybody didn't hear the first time. Mark Ludwig has done this right. Building relationships, getting legislators invested in the issue, and then continuing to build those relationships to help solve the problems that he sees on issues there in Capitol buildings across the country. This is Paul Kirtman on The Paul Kirtman Show. Thanks, Max, for being with us and helping us out today. Thank you, Mark, for joining us.
Thanks again.
We're glad to have you. And we'll be back next week, same time, same place, right here at News Talk STL.